This is Reverend Bookburn, and when I'm not counseling Senator David Diaperman Vitter or Pastor Ted Methman Hager, I'm broadcasting at VoltaRadio.com, Sunday nights, 9 to 11 or so, East Coast Time, USA, at VoltaRadio.com.
The Reverend is in, starting in about a minute. Okay, are we ready? I am. All right, we will test this big phallic microphone. It is working. Moving right along. We know because the last show all their microphones worked. Yes, the weapon of ass destruction is working. And lastly, the big John Holmes porn star microphone is working. So, we are ready. I'm ready when you guys are. All right. A big thank you, as always, to Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist for whatever condition they are in. They eventually see to it that all technological functions happen and run as smoothly as humanly possible. I'm ready. Okay, go. Good evening, this is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In, and tonight is a very special show, even though I say that at every show. Tonight is another sacred annual holiday tradition that we do. Tonight is Right to Privacy Day 2011, and it's a couple of days early. The actual anniversary is March 22nd, when Bill Baird won his historic Supreme Court victory that legalized birth control for non-married people and set the primary legal precedent for the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision of 1973, less than a year later, that legalized abortion. And he's been a human rights and reproductive freedom and all adult lifestyles, freedom fighter, ever since and to this day. And we also have lots of news, other things to cover, as well as the history of Bill Baird and his organization, Pro-Choice League, prochoiceleague.org, and lots of goodies. So stick around, we're going to kick off the first set of tunes, starting with a track by Jello Biafra and Mojo Nixon from their classic collaborative CD entitled Prairie Home Invasion. This is a track entitled Will the Fetus Be Aborted?
Yeah. This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist in celebrating Bill Baird's Supreme Court victory legalizing birth control and establishing Right to Privacy Day every March 22nd. And we're going to play a song that was written for and about Bill Baird by our friend and pro-choice activist and anti-theocracy activist and bookburner of many years. This is a song by Sandy Rapp from her CD Flag and the Rainbow. This is entitled Ballad of Billy Baird.
Eight times in jail with Billy Baird, that young and gentle pioneer, took to the streets when he saw a woman died from an underground abortion. What keeps you going, Billy Baird? What keeps flowers in your hair? Well, you've been so long singing the good song, you keep the 60s rolling on. He bought a band with all he had and set about to spread the word. When just a mention of prevention was illegal to be heard, 3 times to court was Billy Baird, the highest court in all the land. When it was seen as criminally obscene to speak of a parenthood that's planned, if the right privacy means anything at all, it is to choose whether or not to bear a child. So spoke the court in 72 when Billy Baird's first case made birth control legal for singles in the USA. What keeps you going, Billy Baird? What keeps flowers in your hair? Well, you've been so long singing the good song, you keep the 60s rolling on. There was a bomb in 79, no doubt Bill was meant to die. Billy escaped, but the morning break found, they burned his clinic to the ground. They say the devil in his face and shoot the windows from his place. They're for creation, not information, and they've killed 9 providers now to date. And the court decided twice again for Billy Baird, cited Baird v. Eisenstadt 6 times in Roe v. Wade. Then Baird faced jail again, this time for rights of gays. For years he was denied the vote for felonies such as these. Some leaders thought he'd cut a deal too radical to people real. Maybe he's here to play, maybe he's CIA, maybe he wouldn't last for long. 30 years and 9 has been and gone. Billy's doing fine and going strong. Some leaders thought he'd cut a deal too radical to be for real. Maybe he's here to play, maybe he's CIA, maybe he wouldn't last for long. 30 years and 9 has been and gone. Billy's doing fine and going strong. Still he's without a dime, fighting the good fight. He burned the 60s in his song. What keeps you going, Billy Baird? What keeps flowers in your hair? been so wrong. Singing a good song, you keep the 60s rolling on and on and. You've been so wrong. Singing a good song, you keep the 60s rolling on.
Let's talk to, I think, Dave.
Dave.
Hi, Dave. Dave, are you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
What, a friend of mine, I've never listened to the program before, but a friend of mine recommended it. Is the show called Vox Pop? Or?
That's this one, Vox Pop. You're listening to it.
Vox Pop?
V-O-X-P-O-P.
Oh.
Vox Pop. It's short for Vox Populi.
Right.
It's the voice of the people. It's Latin.
Oh, Vox.
V as in victory.
Right.
Not box.
Not box.
V-O-X.
Yeah.
P-O-P. Can you hold on a second? My neighbors are, we have kind of thin walls here. You demon spirits of sexual sin, I bind you in my...
Buster, you're going to have to do that a little later.
No, that was Dave.
Charles. Oh, excuse me, Dave. I mean, Buster, Dave. We'll come back to you in a moment. I don't know what she's doing, but
he's rebuking
his next-door neighbor. We'll come back. Our phone number here is 447-5495.
Folks, you see, one of the reasons to listen to this program, it's amazing all that goes on Vox Pop.
Yeah. I've had people call us Vox Pop, anyway.
Let's go back to Dave and see if he's there.
Let's see if he's there. Dave, are you there?
You go.
Oh, Dave, I don't want to hear all that on the air at all. So you just have to, you go and deal with your own neighbors and don't worry about us. And you, so anyway, all right. Let's talk to Melba. Hi, Melba, are you there?
Yes, sir.
You're on the air. Very quickly, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Well, I enjoy Vox Populi. It's a wonderful program.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're talking about communism. I wanted to ask about, don't you think that very often we don't make the proper distinction between Marx and Lenin? I don't think they taught exactly the same thing or used exactly the same methods. Now, whereas Marx used more of a humorous approach, I believe Lenin brought in the spiritual and the philosophy. You know, he said, imagine all the people living life in peace. What do you think about that?
John, I'll let you answer that.
I missed a few of the words. The lady said that she believed Marx...
Marx used more of a humorous approach.
Humorous approach?
Yes, he said, I would never join a club that would have me as a member.
Well, there was a little bit of humor, but, I'll tell you, you read Marx on the Jews, you read Marx, he was just downright vicious
at
times.
Did Marx write books?
Yeah.
I was talking about Groucho Marx.
No. We're talking...
Oh.
Ha, 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 ha.
Forgive me, I'm sorry.
Okay. We'll cut that out as it goes off the air there. John, I'm sorry about that. I thought she understood who we were talking about.
Right.
So. I'm sure that she was right. Groucho Marx or whatever his name was, I'm sure he was very humorous. Let's talk to Bill. Hey, Bill.
These people that call and have nothing better to do than to shout obscenities or mock and make fun and pretend that they're speaking in some sort of another tongue and so on and so forth. Bear in mind, these are the same people that go into local businesses, restaurants and things, and carry Crayolas in their pocket and mark on bathroom walls. These are people that lack something upstairs. And as one man put it, they're one taco short of a combination plate. Welcome back. Dave, we appreciate your holding. Dave, you're on Nightlight.
Howdy, Mike. How are you?
How are you? I appreciate your holding.
Sorry about that pause there. I had my speakerphone on. I didn't hear it come up there.
Well, I kept you waiting a long time. Wynn and I got off into a long discussion. I enjoy talking with her.
I can tell she's a true soldier for
Christ. Oh,
time.
A lot of energy.
Praise God.
There's no price tag on her.
No, sir. Listen, I wanted to let you know about an exciting book that I've just come across here, and you'll have to bear with me. It may not seem relevant at first, but it's all going to tie in to Bill Clinton and all these things he's trying to do that we're so concerned about. But it's an amazing book by a man named Ted McIntyre. He's a friend of mine. I went to seminary with him. It's called Monkeying Around with America's Future. In this book, he's showing how that in 1988, now he got this information through the he sued, you know, through the Freedom of Information Act.
Uh-huh.
He found out that in 1988, now, the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, and the French Freemasons were all funneling funds secretly into a renegade division of the Special Forces, which was at that time based on the island of Patmos secretly now, and they were training a crack suicide squad of these paramilitary orangutans to storm the Vatican and establish a one-world government based on a sort of neo-Darwinian occult theocratic principle, which would put a giant crystal in charge, well, an intelligent crystal. This is actually what we're talking about is the Antichrist. I believe the Antichrist will actually be a crystalline substance more than an actual person. But it, you know, will be indwelt by demonic spirits.
Sexual. Hey, this is Deborah.
And Keith.
From the band Davey. And you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
Municipal Waste doing The Thrashing of the Christ, which, funny enough, was a song they did at their live show in Philadelphia, which they introduced as, "This is a song about moshing on the face of Jesus Christ. It's called The Thrashing of the Christ." Before Municipal Waste, you heard Witch Hunt doing Legislative Bodies, Legislating Bodies, and Access Denied. Anti-Flag did Right to Choose. You heard Deborah and Keith from the band Davey doing the Volta Radio Station ID and the Reverend Is In promo. From the Radio Jihad comedy CD, you heard Brother Russell doing Noisy Neighbors and Famous Communists. Sandy Rapp did Ballad of Billy Baird. Gil Scott Heron did his anti-nuclear song. He did one of his anti-nuclear songs called Shut 'Em Down. And before Gil Scott Heron, we started off with Jello Biafra and Mojo Nixon doing Will the Fetus Be Aborted? This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on live most Sunday nights at VoltaRadio.com. And we are off next Sunday night. We are returning in 2 weeks on April 3rd with the theme Nuclear Madness. Yes, people predicted it, and some people requested it, and I've been thinking about that, too, not just because of the ongoing nuclear disaster in Japan, but because of possibly some of the dumbest fucking comments made this century by the same assholes who are anti-choice and anti-social programs and anti-unions and anti-fucking everything, plus they're bigots, plus they're anti-choice, plus they're fucked up and deranged, but mostly they're gullible. They listen to these whack job leaders, their political and their religious leaders, and start spouting their talking points and trolling news comment sections and whatever. So hearing the kinds of stupid shit that are being said about nukes being safe and necessary and other total horseshit, and the fact that the disaster in Japan is not even over, yet we thought it is our duty in independent media and independent entertainment to do a show themed nuclear madness, and that's what we're going to do on April 3rd. And also in April, I'm not sure which weekend, but we have to do yet another traditional show that we do every year, Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. And as always, your input is appreciated, and if it's somewhat within reason and doable, we'll probably do it. And that's coming in April. I'm not sure which Sunday night. Let's see. Thank you, people who gave great feedback for the last show we did, Send Walker to Mubarak. And we're still hearing about the show before that, when Ronald Reagan's ghost appeared on the show as a live guest. Do we have birthdays? Yeah. Anyway, send your input to Nuclear Madness or Reverend Bookburn's birthday show right to the Reverend Rev Bookburn at sjcdc.org. And of course, always check up the always updated reverendbookburn.com, or wherever it is now. It's automatic redirection to its new home. But yeah, send feedback, of course, all that shit. It was Hippie John's birthday since the last show, but he was unable to come this way for a visit due to, I'm not kidding, cat-sitting obligations. So he will be around at some point, either before summer or during summer, but maybe my birthday. He shows up a lot when my birthday hits, but he will be here in the future, and we'll try to grab him and get him on the show. But anyway, happy birthday, Hippie John. And we don't have any deaths to report of people we know or rock stars or activists, but wanted to acknowledge arguably one of the bravest people on the continent. He has been a fighter for social justice with a central focus on the legalization of marijuana. He's been fighting for decades, and now he has later stage lung cancer due to tobacco smoking, and he's still fighting. He lives in Wisconsin, and he's very active in the fight to defend labor, to defend working and non-working people, to defend collective bargaining, and to fight that absolute asshole of a governor, Governor Walker. And he's very active to this day, to this minute, despite the fact that he's at least said to be terminally ill, and hopefully he's fighting that too and eating organically and all the things you can do to at least give survival a good chance of happening. But wanted to acknowledge Ben Maisel. He is not dead. Somebody did say he was, but he's not. A different radio show. But Ben Maisel is not dead, but he's diagnosed as terminally ill with latter stage lung cancer, and I'm not accepting the fact that it's something that is inevitably going to happen until it actually does. And we wanted to acknowledge him, and there'll be more about it. We have one article that we linked on today's update at reverendbookburn.com, and more to come. And thank you, Ben Maisel, for all that you've done. All right, we're gonna talk about the history of Bill Baird, I guess, in different parts between the sets of music that we play, and because it is just incredible the historical role that this person played and continues to this day. And it's just incompre-fucking-hensible what's going on. But first, I want to discuss the most current issues regarding birth control rights, abortion rights, and the new Boner Congress that is wreaking havoc. And, of course, the total religious crackpots from the American Christian Taliban that are fucking with everybody's rights. First, there is an onslaught of legislation right now that stops only slightly short of saying if a woman wants an abortion, she has to jump through a series of hoops of fire, all kinds of retarded and illogical and totally maddening restrictions. In one place, they want to make it so that it is inaccessible due to insurance company regulations that they want to establish by law. Another wants to require getting a sonogram first. Just shockingly stupid and heartless and gutless actions that their stooges, mostly in the Republican Party, are putting forth. The current legislation needs to be monitored, needs to be opposed, even for people who don't normally get involved or speak out or write letters or, you know, or protest or, you know, raise hell against all that is wrong. It's necessary. It's pretty close. And like all rules of oppression, of bigotry, of all the things that are fucked up, when there's a huge step backwards, it's way harder to reverse that and get rights back again that you lost. Another thing that needs to be acknowledged is the over 30 years of anti-choice terrorism, which did not begin in 2009 with the assassination of Dr. George Tiller by an anti-choice terrorist, an Al-Qaeda clone, but started in the late 70s. There were only a handful of actions at the time in the 70s. It didn't start until Reagan came into office with this new conservatism and new alliance with the religious right wing, in particular with Reverend Jerry Falwell. And we've well covered for years what a sick fuck he was. But not only did they create a hostile climate, but also backed off investigations to terrorist groups like the Army of God and Life Dynamics and all those shitheads. And then the clinic bombing skyrocketed and violence escalated, harassment intensified. In the 70s, one of the actions that did happen was the bombing of Bill Baird's clinic while he was in it, as well as his staff and patients. And incredibly, nobody was killed, but it was destroyed. And irony number one is all of these assholes that are jumping up and down saying, no mosque near Ground Zero and Islam extremism, are people who aren't even acknowledging the terrorism of their own kind. And so, yes, Islamic terrorism sucks and is an outrage. But the people who are saying it the loudest, and even worse, like organizing or proposing legislation, or saying, no Sharia law, are advocates of religious terrorism and Christian Sharia law. So they need to shut the fuck up. But more importantly, people need to know not to take such assholes seriously. And acknowledge that it is necessary to spread awareness and resistance to anti-choice terrorism, which has been rampant since the early 80s. All right, enough on that. I wanted to bring up fake clinics before talking about Bill Baird. This is a phenomenon that's happened for years. What they do is anti-choice people set up fake abortion clinics, and they call them innocent sounding titles like pregnancy care centers, or even more deceptive titles that would make it sound like it is a real and legitimate women's clinic. And worst of all, they have besmirched the name of a really fucking great band from the 70s, ABBA, by using their name for some of their Taliban-ish fake clinics on behalf of the Christian Jihad. But pregnancy care centers, whatever you want to call them, not only get funding from religious extremist foundations, but also from your tax dollars. That's another one of those things where all these assholes talking about taxes shouldn't go to anything except, of course, the richest people. That's one thing they're strangely silent about. They get funding, they continue to get funding, and some of these new teabagger politicians are vowing and attempting and planning, and I think some are already implementing, renewed funding, even during an economic recession, renewed funding for biased, religious-based, lying and deceptive, anti-professional service providers who are the opposite of legitimate service providers. They are pushing an agenda. They are being dishonest. They are attempting to manipulate the people who are naive enough to go into them and, of course, scare them into making the only decision that they believe should be a choice. Okay, where to even begin with Bill Baird? And we've done the show most years, and during the years that we haven't acknowledged Right to Privacy Day, we've done birthday shows for Bill Baird in the month of June. And I always want to make it a little different. And I don't quite remember the playlists from the old shows or the content. So I throw in like the most recent stuff and the recent legislation. And if there's a statement from a particularly stupid, you know, Bachman or Beck type, you know, throw in some quotes. So I want to go into the history of Bill Baird, but not be overly repetitious with the previous shows that are already in the archives at Radio For All. But Bill Baird was a medical student in the 1960s and was doing his residency work in a hospital in, I believe, Harlem. And abortion was illegal at the time, and countless women were dying from botched illegal abortions, or what they call coat hanger abortions, and other desperate measures that resulted in so many deaths, and a problem that would, of course, return in a big way if these anti-choice legislative assholes get their way. But a woman was in the hospital where he was doing his residency and was bleeding, running down the hall. She actually hemorrhaged to death. She collapsed into his arms and died. And that began his lifelong commitment that has lasted to this day and is still going strong, that he decided not one more woman will ever die because she was denied her rights. And he began fighting for birth control and abortion rights. And at the time, it was illegal for non-married people to access birth control. Yeah, that's how fucked up these laws were, and not that long ago. And so, similar to Emma Goldman in the early 1900s, who was getting arrested for speaking about birth control and abortion in public, Bill Baird began to do so and spread information on birth control and abortion, including who they could turn to despite the repressive laws. And for that, he got arrested and had to fight in the legal system as well, leading to him speaking at a university in Massachusetts and knowing in advance that he would get arrested, but doing it anyway, and used his case to challenge the old Comstock laws and Puritan and repressive laws that have been on the books. And that lasted until 1972, which went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And on March 22nd, 1972, he won. The case was called Baird versus Eisenstadt. They ruled in favor of Bill Baird on the grounds that if the right to privacy means anything, it is whether or not to beget a child. And the decision was historic for many reasons, but most of all, it actually legalized birth control for all and set a precedent that was so powerful. It was the number one precedent that made the Roe versus Wade decision possible less than a year later in January 1973. And the Roe versus Wade decision legalized abortion at long last. And when they did the Roe decision, they quoted Baird versus Eisenstadt six times. It was passed in the same language of the Baird decision and was obvious that it wouldn't have happened without Baird versus Eisenstadt in 1972. So if anyone you know ever benefited from birth control or abortion, if anyone you know ever fucked a member of the opposite sex, and we have, I don't need to laugh, I'm looking at these guys who are now staring at me. If you have benefited from any of that, or experienced any of that, or if anyone you know has, then a thank you is owed to Bill Baird, now of the Pro-Choice League, which is at prochoiceleague.org. And I'm talked out. We're going to continue this after the second set of tunes. But anyway, that's who he is. And of course, ever since, he's been a fighter for birth control and abortion rights. He's been a supporter of gay rights. He's been a staunch opponent of all oppression and injustice. He's been a fighter against racism. He's been a fighter for liberty, for the right to smoke weed, and as well as access it medicinally. And of course, he's been an advocate for all adult lifestyles between consenting adults. We're going to play a song by Dar Williams. It's from the bonus CD that comes with the DVD version of the greatest documentary about Amsterdam entitled Sex, Drugs, and Democracy, which is recommended. Talk about freedom, justice, and liberty. It's a great documentary. But anyway, this is the bonus CD that comes with Sex, Drugs, and Democracy. This is Dar Williams doing her pro-weed song entitled Play the Greed.
From a pale face on a paper dollar, and I bet you got a few bucks in your hip wallet, so throw a tiny wrench in the fiber optic wires. Morals are cheap and you can be the buyers. We can let them poison and pillage foreign lands, or we can play the greed right into our hands. Oh, 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 everybody says it can't happen. Everybody says it.
soon. You didn't know this land is your land, but we can play the rule back into our hands. Oh, Malcolm's gonna say it can't happen here. Rupert's gonna say it can't happen here. Things will turn around just as sure as they said it. Hell, things change and they'll always take the credit.
Down, bam, 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 like a pickam, down, 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 like a pickam, down. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses on my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis, I'll keep my penis off of you. Well, I'm freaking sick and tired of turning on the news and seeing the religious right's ungodly fight to take our right to choose when to bear our children, who to love and how. Education and protection if we're just practicing for now. So W, look, obey a book if that's what works for you. But I don't tell you how to pray, so don't you tell me how to screw. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis, I'll keep my penis off of you. So you are screaming bloody murder about the Taliban regime for subjugating women and being too extreme and basing legislation on some ancient holy book. Does that sound a bit familiar? Here's a mirror, have a look. And as for the Ten Commandments, they need one more at least. Thou shalt never cover up the acts of pervert priests. Well, how they let that happen? Unless they just abhor us. Well, anyway, adds another layer to the chorus. Keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears and your crosses off my walls. You can keep the Virgin Mother and the resurrection too. Keep your Jesus off my penis, I'll keep my penis off of you. So you'll execute a person and then protect a single cell, but mercy kill the terminally ill and you're going straight to hell. I don't know much about the word of God, far be it from me, but I can tell you what it ain't. That's hypocristianity. Well, I am not anti-Christian. Before you grab a rope, there is beauty in religion and joy and love and hope, and we're all looking for that answer, some colossal cosmic cause. But who the fuck are you to turn your views into my laws? It's just believers in the Bible that would have abortion banned. Anti-choice agnostics, I could count them on one hand. And as for killing babies, I've got but one retort. If someone raped your daughter, George, you'd beg her to abort. And if some young girl from your church shows up with child or some infection, 'cause you told her what a horrid sin it was to use protection, well, one day you'll face the pearly gates. And what you gonna say? When that long-haired Jewish peacenik sends your ass the other way, saying, keep your Jesus off my penis, keep your Bible off my balls, keep your prayers out of my ears, and your crosses off my walls. I've had it up to here with all the bibliophiles you spew, so keep your Jesus off my penis. Well, at least that's what I will do. Yeah, keep your Jesus off my penis, keep my penis off of you. That's if you want me to.
Sleeping when Angel Gabriel appeared. He said, you are to be the Virgin Mother, but Mary thought that was weird. Mary said, I'm not a virgin, I blew a guy last year. But then Gabriel said to Mary, my child, have no fear, 'cause you can suck all the dick you want and still be a virgin. Mary, you can suck all the dick you want and still not be concerned. considered flawed, although you went to town and sucked some semen down. You're still a virgin in the eyes of God. There was no room at the inn when Mary and Joseph did arrive, but they were so very tired, you see, and Mary had to offer a bribe. Since she had no money, how would she pay for a place to sleep? Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her not to weep, 'cause you can suck all the dick you want and still be a virgin. Mary, you can suck all the dick you want and still be the mother of Christ. If there's no room at the inn, then it's not considered a sin to suck some dick to get a room for the night. Then three wise men did appear, bearing gifts of myrrh and such. They said that they had followed a star and missed a woman's touch. Mary thought she might pleasure them, but could not take them to bed. But again, Gabriel appeared to her, and this is what he said. You can suck all the dick you want and still be a virgin. Mary, you can suck all the dick you want, everyone that hangs in the nation. Fellatio ain't no sin. Gonna blow those three wise men, and you'll still be a virgin, 'cause there was no penetration. So you can suck all the dick you want and still be a virgin. Mary, the donkey and the ox and the lambs and even the little drummer boy. People will remember your name quick. They'll say, damn, that bitch could suck a good dick, 'cause sucking dick brings peace on earth and joy. 'Cause sucking dick brings peace on earth and joy. Mary, Mary, suck that dick.
This is Dr. Greed, and I am outraged and offended by the shenanigans that are on this show. And now I have to introduce an even more outrageous song by an 80s hair band called the Hooters that makes fun of our dear beloved friends on Christian Broadcasting Television. This song by the Hooters is entitled Satellite.
Thank you. What do you say we lighten things up and talk about abortion? You know, I feel like I'm losing some of you here, and I want to win all of you back with this one. Let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about child killing and see if we can't get some chuckles rippling through the room here. Let's talk about mass murder of young, unborn children and see if we can't coalesce into one big, healthy gut laugh. Boy, I've never seen an issue so divisive. You ever seen? It's like a civil war, isn't it? Even amongst my friends, who are all very intelligent, they are totally divided on abortion. It's unbelievable. Some of my friends, for instance, think these pro-life people are annoying idiots. Other of my friends think these pro-life people are evil fucks. How are we going to come to a consensus? You ought to hear the arguments around my house. They're annoying. They're idiots. They're evil. They're fucks. Brothers, sisters, come together. Can't we once just join hands and think of them as evil, annoying, idiot fucks? I beseech you. But that's me, Libra rising. The scales. And strangely enough, Shiva, the destroyer. Who would have thunk it? We're pro-life. Ooh, you look it. Look like you're filled with life. Oh, little kids, please don't adopt me. Please don't adopt me. We're your new Christian pro-life parents. Oh, where's the tower? Where's the gun? Where's the tower? Where's the gun? I was adopted by pro-life Christians when I was a kid. Does my penis make me a bad boy? That's what they told me. Please, give me the Satan-worshipping family down the block. The ones that have the good albums. Suddenly I'm adopted by the Flanders, you know. Hi, Bill. Isn't it another beautiful God-created morning? We're pro-life. It's like, what does that make me? You know what I mean? You're so pro-life. You're so pro-life. Do me a fucking favor. Don't block med clinics. Okay? Lock arms and block cemeteries. Let's see how fucking committed you are to this premise. She can't come in. She was 96. She was hit by a bus. There's options. What, do we got to have her stuffed? What are you talking about? She's dead. We're pro-life. Get her out of that casket. Get her out. She's not going. We're pro-life people. There'll be no death on this planet. Pro-life. And I always say, see, my theory, here's my actual theory beyond... huge, hilarious jokes I have. Here's my real theory, though. If you're so pro-life and you're so pro-child, then adopt one that's already here that's very unwanted and very alone and needs someone to take care of it to get it out of a horrible situation. Okay? And people say, well, why don't you do that? And I say, because I hate fucking kids and couldn't care less. Couldn't give a fuck. Don't care about it all about abortion. It's your choice. Case closed, the end, bottom line. And by the way, a three-month-old kid in your belly is not a fucking human being, okay? It's a bunch of little congregate of cells. You're not a human till you're in my phone book. There, my hat is now in the political ring. There's.
Well, okay, but the only way we can really do the song is if we have two sensitive new age guys to help sing the song. Are there two men in the audience who would volunteer to come up here? We'll teach you how to do the song. My boss, Rick Moshka. We need one more.
Get the guy who fell asleep.
Help, the guy who fell asleep. Yeah, get over here, go!
Okay.
So don't be afraid. Get right on top of the mic. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask the questions. All of you are going to answer together with Harold and Rick leading you in this. Okay? So just try to pretend that I'm a New Age preacher and this is a New Age church. And maybe they'll be like New Age evangelical sisters. This could be the male bonding experience of the night you men have been looking for. Then again, maybe not. Who like to talk about their feelings?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Who's into crystals, into healing?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Who like to dress like Richard Simmons?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Who are hard to tell from women?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Who like to cry at weddings? Who think boxing is upsetting? Who taped Twin Peaks on their VCRs? Who's got baby on board stickers on their cars? Oh, go. Ooh. Everybody do that. Ooh. Everybody stop. Whose last names are hyphenated?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Who love Three Men and a Baby, a movie I hated?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Whose consciousness is constantly raising?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Yet whose tax-free income is amazing?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Who thinks that red meat is disgusting? Who's into UFOs, channeling, then dusting? Who believes us when we say we've got premenstrual syndrome? Who doesn't know who plays in the Seattle Kingdom? Lots of guys don't know who plays in the Seattle Kingdom. Guys not into brutal, violent contact sports. Why, let's ask these guys here. Excuse me, Rick, do you know who plays in the Seattle Kingdom?
No.
Honesty, I like that in a sensitive man. Harold, do you know?
Yes, Seattle Seahawks.
The Seattle Seahawks. Harold. He was very honest. He's quite macho, too. Don't let that suit fool you. Girls, I know what I'm talking about. He looks like a man with a job. I like that. Who likes music that's repetitious?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Who likes music that's repetitious?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Who's concerned about your orgasm?
Sensitive New Age guys.
Wow! That is the first time. That is the first time men have ever sung that line on stage. And we are here to witness it. Hallelujah. Even though a lot of guys think it's more important that the men have them. Who carries the baby on his back? Who thinks Shirley MacLaine is on the inside track? Who always sings on sing-alongs, even when they can't stand stupid sing-along songs? You know, even this, in this very supportive, codependent atmosphere, I could still tell a lot of men here tonight did not like this song. But a lot of you did sing along because it was a sing-along and you didn't want to hurt my feelings. Because you know what that's like. Because your feelings have been hurt so many times because you are so damn sensitive. Yes, you are, but we love you anyway because you're sensitive. Big finish. New Age guys. Harold and Rick! Let's hear it for them!
Here's another question I've been pondering. What is all this shit about angels? Have you heard this? Three out of four people now believe in angels. What are you, fucking stupid? Huh? Has everybody lost their fucking mind in this country? Angel shit. You know what I think it is? I think it's a massive collective psychotic chemical flashback from all the drugs, smoked, swallowed, snorted, shot, and absorbed rectally by all Americans from 1960 to 1990. 30 years of adulterated street drugs will get you some fucking angels, my friend. Angels. Angel shit. What about goblins, huh? Doesn't anybody believe in goblins? You never hear about them, except on Halloween. Halloween, it's always negative shit, too. You ever notice that? And zombies. Where the fuck are all the zombies? That's the trouble with zombies. They're unreliable. I say, if you're going to buy the angel bullshit, you might as well go for the zombie package as well. Here's another horrifying aspect of American culture, the pussification, the continued pussification of the American male in the form... Yeah, all right. In the form of Harley Davidson theme restaurants. What the fuck is going on here?
Come on up to the devil's door.
You heard the Misfits doing Devil's Whorehouse and Astro Zombies. George Carlin did Angels from his legendary comedy CD, You Are All Diseased. Christine Lavin and Friends did Sensitive New Age Guys. Bill Hicks did Pro-Life from one of the greatest comedy CDs of all time, Rant in E Minor. Before Bill Hicks, you heard the Hooters doing Satellite. South Park did The Virgin Mary. Eric Swartz did Keep Your Jesus Off My Penis. And started off with Dar Williams doing Play the Greed. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Right to Privacy Day 2011. And we are celebrating Right to Privacy Day, which is actually in 2 days, on March 22nd. Due to the Supreme Court victory of Bill Baird, in which birth control was legalized for non-married people, and set the precedent for the Roe versus Wade decision that legalized abortion. And I started this subject early on in the show, which was current issues. We covered fake clinics like pregnancy care centers, as they're called, and we're desecrating the name of a great 70s band, ABBA. We covered anti-choice terrorists. One thing we didn't cover is their overlap with the right wing. Our friends in the Northeast Philadelphia Pro-Choice Coalition, who are clinic defenders on the front lines, actually braving the anti-choice thug squads and terrorists and harassers, have long reported, and we've seen it directly ourselves, these people overlapping all along, all the way back to the 80s, with far right-wing groups. So when you see anti-immigration groups like the Minutemen, they are overlapping with anti-choice extremists. When you see hardcore racist groups, the Klan, the Nazis, and similar scum, they overlap with the anti-choice hardcore groups. In fact, they joined in Operation Rescue, as they were called, actions in the late 80s. They've hosted them on their white power cable TV shows in the 80s and 90s and endorsed their programs of clinic bombings and shootings and all of their acts of terrorism. And they overlap today with the far right, the militia nuts of the 90s and of today, the racist groups, and of course all of them overlap with these retarded Tea Party people and dangerous Tea Party people. The overlap with the right wing is significant enough to acknowledge it. It's not a coincidence, it's not a few apples or anything of the sort. They are brethren and sistren and overlap tremendously. And that's important to know because in a recession, in times where the people they support, the candidates they support, the people they push for, as well as the ideologies that they push for, people are fucked. It's everything for the corporate masters. Fuck the workers, fuck people out of jobs, fuck survival programs, fuck up the economy even worse, fuck up the future, and then force women to go through pregnancies and have babies that are going to have an even more uphill fight to fucking survive. And it's a very real agenda. It's pandering to the religious right-wing base. It is a part of the far-right agenda, and it is being implemented, and some of it is close to passing, and I think some of these dumb fucking laws that they've been proposing lately have already passed. So there is an enormous overlap with the remainder of the right wing, with these religious right people and Christian Taliban groups. And of course, that means that there is a tremendous ideological overlap, meaning they support the right wing agenda. They support cutting essential social programs and survival programs. They support racist policies. And interestingly, for people who distort the English language and call themselves pro-life, they are pro-death penalty. They are pro-war. They are pro-repressive legislation. And just like their brothers in the Taliban, they support theocratic policies, the integration of church and state, the integration of religious-based policies for all in this nation. And that is the opposite of the fundamental principles of democracy and diversity. But these laws are being proposed in an enormous tidal wave one more time, because they are encouraged, like they were when George W. Numnuts Bush was the president by coup and election fraud. They are encouraged by the Boner Congress of today, and absolutely insidious legislation is passed that are theocratic, that are anti-choice, and of course that are hostile to all people, by also supporting cuts to social programs and legislation that fucks either middle class or further down than the middle class. Bill Baird fought in 1972 up to the Supreme Court to legalize birth control for non-married people, set the primary legal precedent for Roe versus Wade, the January 1973 decision that legalized abortion, which was quoted, his decision was quoted 6 times in Roe and crafted the language of the Roe decision. And in later in the 70s, he won 2 more Supreme Court cases that resulted in people who were pre-adult age having access to abortion. And that was, of course, an enormous victory, because these parental consent laws are just insidious. People don't think before they start supporting such stupid pieces of legislation. But with all the abuse cases, and with all of the cases of people who would not be able to jump through hoops of fire to access choice and abortion services, there must never be parental consent laws. And the people who promote it do not understand how they are furthering injustices against young people, because in the same manner that there are honor killings by religious fucks elsewhere, and what I mean by that is, of course, the more extreme variety of religious people, but just like the fuckheads who implement honor killings, as they call it, there are just as many, if not more, hardline Christian extremists and miscellaneous other nutcases that will abuse or repress underage women, especially if they come home and tell them that they are pregnant. And thankfully, Bill Baird passed those cases in the 70s that gave the rights of reproductive freedom to underage women. All right, we covered 1979 when Bill Baird's clinic was bombed, and he and his staff and his patients survived it. Yes, a Christian terrorist who, of course, is cut from the same exact cloth as Islamic terrorists, bombed the clinic while people were inside, and they survived it. What we didn't mention was that there were other attempts on Bill Baird's life, including being attacked by a gunman in the 90s, and numerous assaults and stalkings that have happened since then. You don't hear about that when people write articles in the corporate media about a history of terrorism or history of violence or even a history of religious violence. And there's two reasons for that. One is you would have heard about it for every night for a year if it was an Islamic jihadist who had tried to kill Bill Baird more than once. And plus you would have heard mention of it ever since and to this day. But one reason is the corporate media's pathetic coverage of Christian terrorists and the abortion issue itself. And the second is that Bill was on the receiving end of a lot of bullshit from his own side. And there's a lot of speculation, which is really the best one can do, since it's hard to really explain the actions of other people in definitive terms. But whether it was turf wars or egos or gender, there was a lack of acknowledgement of the importance of his case. Some laughable pro-choice books even skip over Baird versus Eisenstadt when giving choice history. They go from the Griswold versus Connecticut Supreme Court decision of 1961 that made birth control slightly accessible, and skip over 1972 and go directly to January 1973. Whatever the reasons, it's bullshit and it should end. And thankfully, people like Sandy Rapp and numerous others have acted to reverse that. But Bill Baird was attacked multiple times, and that was not acknowledged for by history. And also his role has been insufficiently covered by his in terms of history as well. But he has fought effectively to this day for birth control rights, for safe and legal and accessible abortion, for the rights of gay people, for the rights of people no matter what race they are, and fighting against racism, fighting for all adult lifestyles from swingers to whoever, anything between consenting adults. He's been supportive of the pro-legalization of marijuana movement, and we are going to say what we always say, which is thank you, friend and brother. And we don't ask for money on this show. You know, I have never received any money in the 10 years of doing this show. And if I ask for it on somebody else's behalf, I don't benefit, I don't have a stake in it, I'm not a shareholder or a partial owner or any of that kind of shit. It's simply to support something that is cool and worthwhile. And yes, times are tough and it sucks, but even a few bucks would be cool if you could send them to prochoiceleague.org. Now, mind you, I won't name any groups, but some groups have leaders that get six-figure salaries. Some groups have organizational structures in which countless people get salaries and work at those organizations for a living. And I'm not even commenting on that, but when money is donated to prochoiceleague.org, it does not go to any of that shit. You are not contributing to a swimming pool or lots and lots of airfare or kinds of things that many large organizations of any stripe, of any issue or cause, does. It is truly grassroots. And you can connect with him at prochoiceleague.org. And if you don't, and if you can't, it would be good to contact them anyway and just say thank you. And one of the things that we're continuing to do is to help them, because a couple of us have extensive histories and friendship with Bill Baird, helping them document history. There's a book project. There was a theater project, but I think that already happened in Massachusetts, near where he got arrested in the 60s. And a few more projects that deal with the historical end of it. And of course, we're going to support him in his future endeavors as well. Again, it's prochoiceleague.org. I'm talked out already. And I'm not even partying like these other guys here. The Misfits are in the background. But we're going to play a song by DOA after one of their umpteen reunions. This one in the late 90s. On their own label, Sudden Death Records, suddendeath.com. That's a hilarious name, considering that the way that the Christian Taliban says, you're pro-death. But anyway, from Sudden Death Records by DOA at suddendeath.com, their CD entitled Festival of Atheists contains a track about the anti-abortion terrorists, and that is what we are about to play. This is DOA doing a song about anti-choice terrorists entitled A Gun and a Bomb.
Come on, I'm naked.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message. I was proud to be associated with Pastor Ted Haggard and other good stand-up people who added a lot to our culture. As you know, I pushed funding for faith clinics, faith-based initiative organizations, and of course, I was more than a little friendly with anti-choice extremists, and I'm happy to say that it was a good thing that the tradition is being kept up by the Boner Congress of today, which is finishing what we started, like my daddy before me, and like good Saint Ron himself. We shall continue to oppress others in the name of
Christianity. It worked when we colonized other people, and it works now. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
The other night, a voice came to me. Turned out it was God. Said, "Oaks, wake up, this is God here, over." I said, "You're putting me on, of course, Dylan." So he did a few tricks and moved the bed back and forth. Trembling, I asked, "What is it you want, O Lord?" He said, "Well, frankly, Phil, I went downtown the other day, saw the greatest story ever told, couldn't believe it. It's gone too far. Something must be done about Christianity." Then, woof, in a puff of smoke, he disappeared. The next morning, I woke up, had a few drinks to realize it was all true, and decided to do something about Christianity. What could I do? Me, a poor, humble boy from the sticks. Then I remembered I was a songwriter. Aha! So I sat down with pen in hand over my typewriter and ended up writing this next song, which is a hymn about Christianity. Actually, an anti-hymn. The first anti-hymn, folks. It's, That's the melody. Christian cannons have fired at my days, with the warning beneath the holy blaze, and bow to our authority, say the cannons of Christianity. Oh, the children will be sent to schools, minds of clay are molded to the rules, learn to fear all of eternity, warn the cannons of Christianity. Holy hands will count the money raised. Like a king, the Lord is richly praised on a cross of diamond majesty. Say the cannons of Christianity. Missionaries will travel on crusades. The word is given, the heathen souls are saved. Conversions to our morality, sigh the cannons of Christianity. Come the wars and turn the rules around. Defend your soul on the battleground, and the Lord will march beside me. Drone the cannons of Christianity. Cathedral walls will glitter with their gold, and the sermons speak through silver robes. Building castles amidst the poverty, say the cannons of Christianity. Worship now and wash your sins away. Drop the coin
to your knees and pray. Cleanse the world of all hypocrisy. Smile the canons of Christianity. Christian cannons have fired at my days with the warning beneath the holy blaze, and bow to our authority, say the canons of Christianity, cry the canons of Christianity.
Okay, this merits an introduction. This track is a live track by the Dead Milkmen from our very own city of Philadelphia. And it is referring to a guy who is in state government in beautiful Pennsylvania. But he resembles a lot of the butt wipes of the Boner Congress of today. And at the time, Stephen Friend was viciously anti-choice. And of course, the rest of the agenda as well. He's anti-social programs, anti-supporting any kind of social program for somebody after they're fucking born. And he was a religious nut and a racist and everything else. But anyway, this is the Dead Milkmen doing their live tribute during one of their reunions around 1990, in which they discuss Stephen Friend.
Isn't it great to see all these girls run up and kiss a 30-year-old fat balding man? Died, I thought I wasn't going to have anybody to make fun of anymore.
this far because now I'd like to make fun of Stephen Freeman. Or as we like to call him, Mr. Illiterate Product of an Incestuous Relationship. You know, one thing my dad taught me was it ain't much of a man who picks a fight with pregnant women. And that's basically what they're doing with the women trying to get into abortion clinics. Oh, big man, you blocked a pregnant woman! Woo! This is my idea. I will fight Stephen Friend. The loser leaves the state of Pennsylvania. I think I can take the little weasel, too. Let some other state worry about him. Ship him on out of here. When he flies on the plane away, they're going to have to keep him down in the cargo with all the other pets. And wonder his little doggy carrier. So remember, Stephen Friend and me, it's going to be better than this Holyfield fight coming up. Stephen Friend and me duking it out on pay-per-view. The canvas. I'm gonna keep him up for a while and duke him around a little bit.
I'd like to go see that.
You would. You should come see it. I'm thinking about holding it at the shore.
Oh, really? At the shore? But how would I get down there?
You can get a car. It's snowing down here.
Oh, what kind of car should I get?
You should probably get one of them there bitching Camaro.
Special dedication. Long has this been an anthem of the independent and smaller groups of clinic defenders, and in particular the Northeast Philadelphia Pro-Choice Coalition and the South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition. And this shall be shared beyond clinic defenders to everyone who can appreciate the beauty of this Monty Python track from their film The Meaning of Life. This is entitled Every Sperm is Sacred.
There are Jews in the world, there are Buddhists, there are Hindus and Mormons, and then there are those that follow Mohammed's book. I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If the sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
This is Dr. Laura Hoa, and I want to talk about our sainted tea bagging party. People, these tea parties were not I Hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own tea bagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our tea bags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting tea bagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the tea bagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail teabagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Oh, shit, man! Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have runner-ups. Sunday, March 20th, 2011, at voltaradio.com, reverendbookburn.com, and radioforall.net. Tonight, runner-up to Asshole of the Week is Larry Kudlow. Larry Kudlow is an anchor at CNBC News who announced during his broadcast shortly after the Japanese earthquake and tsunami and nuclear disaster was beginning that he was glad and that we should celebrate the fact that the human toll outweighed the economic toll in Japan. The stench that is known as Larry Kudlow of CNBC, runner-up to Asshole of the Week, number one. And that leads us to runner-up to Asshole of the Week, number two, which is, well, we don't want to say he's a comedian, because to say he's a comedian is to suggest that he is occasionally funny, but an idiot who sprang out of the Reagan-era 80s of, like, sadistic, inhuman comedians in the Dice League, the Kinison League, and a similar ilk. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried has continued his tradition of being not funny and being an asshole by making a huge list of jokes. Where's the fart sounds? Wake up, you guys. We need fart sounds for SO Bleak, starting with Cheech from Cheech and Chong. That's better. Gilbert Gottfried, supposed comedian, unleashed a lengthy list of jokes about the Japanese tragedy, and no doubt will continue to do so, since that gave him far more attention than he would have received for simply being a lame-ass comedian. Gilbert Gottfried, runner-up to Asshole of the Week number 2. And that means that we have to have a recipient who is truly worthy. A recipient who outshines even the 2 runners-up to Asshole of the Week. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is not an individual or even a small group of individuals. In fact, the recipient doesn't contain individuals at all, just mindless, whorish sheep. And we apologize and mean no disrespect to sheep or to whores. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is all of the current wave of anti-choice legislators who are responsible for the proposed legislation that we have discussed, the proposed restrictions and ludicrous hurdles that make abortion and exercising of legitimate rights even difficult, even more difficult, and in some cases, impossible. Anti-choice legislators of the Boner Congress and the Teabag Psychos, you are assholes of the week. All right, we can end the fight sounds. Thank you. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Hoare, and that was the 2009 version. Before that, Behind Enemy Lines did 2 tracks, Her Body, Her Decision, and The Army of God. Before that, the Reverend Bookburn animation theme from Monty Python's soundtrack to the Meaning of Life film. You heard Every Sperm is Sacred, and that goes out to all clinic defenders, of course. The Dead Milkmen did Bitchin' Camaro live from their Chaos Rules CD. Goldfinger did Fuck Ted Nugent from Liberate, a benefit compilation CD for PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. 2 tracks by Phil Oakes, the electric version of I Ain't Marching Anymore, and Canons of Christianity, and started off with DOA's track about anti-choice terrorists entitled A Gun and a Bomb. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Right to Privacy Day 2011, and we're going to repeat. Thank you, Bill Baird, for establishing Right to Privacy Day, for fighting for birth control rights that led to this 1972 victory, Baird versus Eisenstadt, and making Roe versus Wade possible, legalizing abortion. Thank you for decades of freedom fighting and fighting against injustice. And please go to prochoiceleg.org and echo this thank you sentiment. We are going to be back in 2 weeks on April 3rd for Nuclear Madness themed show. And not sure when, but later in April, we're going to do Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. Write to me, Rev Bookburn, no period in Rev. RevBookburn@sjcdc.org. Check out the always updated with lots of links and goodies, ReverendBookburn.com. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/RevBookburn. On MySpace, myspace.com/ReverendBookburn. On Facebook, Rev and Reverend are not permitted to be a first name. So on Facebook, it is The Rev, as one word, The Rev Bookburn. And on the info tab, the pages link, there is a link to the Reverend Bookburn fan site. We will see you in 2 weeks for Nuclear Madness. We're going to play a closing track and get out of here. And we were thinking, what would be a fitting finale to our celebration of Right to Privacy Day? And we just couldn't resist playing the next track, which is by Cradle of Filth. And it's a very beautiful song entitled Lord Abortion. Good night.
stands out on the highway like a creature from another time. It inspires the baby's questions.
What's that?
For their mothers as they ran. But no one stopped to think about the babies or how they would survive. And we were almost lost Detroit this time. Get over losing our minds. Just 30 miles from Detroit stands a giant power station. It ticks each night as the city sleeps. A seconds from annihilation. But no one stopped to think about the people or how they would survive. And we almost lost Detroit this time. How would we ever get over losing our mind? The sheriff of Monroe County had a sure enough disasters on his mind. And what would Karen Silkwood say to you if she was still alive? That when it comes to people's safety, money wins out every time. That time, almost lost Detroit. That time, how will we ever get over? Those odds are we're gonna lose somewhere. One time, odds are we're gonna lose somewhere. Sometime.
KTIW, Texas City.
Millions have listened to and enjoyed the great symphonic programs by Maestro Arturo Toscanini, one of the greatest conductors of all times. But not many have heard this priceless, unguarded moment from a broadcast rehearsal.
Andante! You don't know the Italian speed andante with me? Sette o strano! È impossibile essere vero! Possible to believe that you can be so stupid! You can be, no! Corpo di un Dio santissimo! Madonna santissima! I can go! Basta! I can go!
The practical joker is found everywhere, even in the radio and television industry, as this announcer found out on the first day of April.
And the bill goes to Washington next week for the president's signature. Here's a bulletin just handed me from the wires of the Associated Press. Washington, D.C. The White House has just announced that it's counting on all of us to make our victory gardens a success this year. New developments in fertilizers ensure a bumper crop for everyone. Let's get those tomatoes and cucumbers underway. Be sure to have a good supply of humus on hand. Your victory garden is your share of... Say, what the hell is this?
April Fool!
Let's listen to a news item heard on the 11 o'clock news.
And here is a late story about that fire that broke out on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. The blaze, of undetermined origin, started in a peanut store on the boardwalk and spread to other stores in the vicinity. The fire threatened the famous Atlantic City million-dollar steel pier. The peanut store front was completely demolished, and boardwalk passers-by helped themselves. Tonight, there are many boardwalk moonlight strollers with hot nuts.
You've just heard There's No Business Like Show Business, sung by the robust voice of Ethel Mermer.
The late and beloved Dr. Walter Damrosch, Dean of American Conductors, took great pride in his music appreciation series broadcast to students in New York schools. But even Dr. Damrosch was not infallible. Let's listen.
Our music appreciation program concludes with Tchaikovsky's Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies, followed by the delightfully gay music of Mozart's Magic Fruit.
Here's how the governor of the Virgin Islands was inadvertently introduced to a radio audience.
And now, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, it gives me a great pleasure to introduce you to the Virgin of Governor's Island.
In radio, complete silence usually indicates something technically wrong at the studio. Here's a case where the engineer became panicked by an unforeseen silence.
His death is a severe loss to me personally and to the community at large, which he served so well and faithfully. I ask you all to join me in 1 minute silence in contemplation of this fine, devoted public servant.
Broadcasting a funeral.
An engineer was responsible for this blooper. He accidentally threw a switch that cut off the local program and substituted the current network show.
It's time now, ladies and gentlemen, for our featured guest, the prominent author, lecturer, and social leader, Mrs. Elwood Dodge, who is
able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Turning to the world of golf now, word has just reached us that in order for amateur golfers to participate in this major tournament, they will first have to qualify sexually. I beg your pardon, that's sectionally.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking in their easy chairs.